Welcome back to She Said, He Said with Kelly Lamb and Gordon Montgomery. Presented by Homes for Sale by Montgomery.com. That's Homes, the number four, sale by Montgomery.com. On 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to She Said, He Said. It is 9:22. Thank you for joining us this morning. We've got the Grover, and I'm here with Gordon. So, Gordon.
Yes.
Grover, what do you get when you cross a four-leaf clover with poison ivy?
Wait. I don't know. Wait.
That's exactly what you're supposed to say to me.
I don't know.
Okay. A rash of good luck on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, man. There's nothing good luck about poison ivy. I got it so bad as a child. I could walk in the woods, not touch anything, and just in the air, I would get it.
I used to rub it on me. Rub it because all the kids would get to get out of school if they had poison ivy.
You're nuts.
So I'd rub it on me. I never got it. Never. I would never get poison ivy. I was like 24 years old. My nose is tickling. Is something hanging from it?
Yeah, no. Thank goodness.
So anyway,
messy hair and a booger hanging out. There we go.
So I was mowing the lawn.
Nurse Kelly's
and
green.
Went under a tree and mowed poison ivy. I look like something from The Walking Dead. It was the worst experience ever. Horrible.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is probably sharing a little too much. But
oh, great.
I took a whiz in the woods. And whiz in the woods.
Great.
Should be a song. Anyway. Yeah, I got it everywhere,
visual.
Everywhere, and that was the most
everywhere.
Miserable thing.
Everywhere.
I mean,
aww,
yeah. I used to get it so bad as a kid, I had to get shots. They gave me shots when I was a child for the poison ivy because I got it so
bad.
But you know what? It cured me. I can't get it now. I haven't had poison ivy in forever. I think you become immune to it as you get older. But yeah.
Well, I got it when I got older. So we got some people on Facebook. It's so sweet when people are.
I want to say hi to my son. He is all the way in Florida. I haven't said hi to him yet.
No.
Since he's been on the air. So hi to my son, Blake, Austin, Montgomery, all the way down in Stuart, Florida.
And your sister's listening. Get the whole family. Mom, are you out there?
Yes, probably.
I'm going to say hello. You got Terry. She says hello. Lena. Tracy and Kevin. Where's Kevin? Is he sleeping in? Michael Sass, and I want to say sorry for what he is going through as well as stepson's father. Bill Herr, and of course your son, Carrie. Hey, Carrie and Michelle. So hello to you guys. So thanks for listening. For anyone else who didn't say hi, we say hello to you.
And we'll say hi to Peter. Peter's out there. Peter listens to the show. Yeah.
All right. So I have the question.
What's your question, Kelly? What is it?
Well, my question is brought to you by Dadix Inc., and they'll be coming on with us soon as well. They're a premier software company that optimizes your business through software. So they've been designing like enterprise software solutions for 20 years, so they know what they're doing. They know what it's all about. And if your company needs a system to keep it running smoothly, effectively, and efficiently, Dadix is it. Go to DadixInc.com, DadixInc.com. So there you go. So my question was pretty simple, that is, but it was, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Mine has changed.
I know you said that because you are a thin mint groupie.
I was a thin mint
junkie.
The
freezer's filled with them. You can't get enough of them. And now it has changed. People out there are screaming, what? How could you ever change from a thin mint?
I don't know. It seemed like the quality went down on them this year for some reason.
Girl Scouts going, thank you.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter what the quality
the
is.
Mints,
those things
just
sell.
On the thin mints.
And now they're copying them.
Yeah, they're $4. I think they're even $5 in California. But it's like you get like 12 cookies for $5. But and you know what? Mine has now changed to Tagalongs. Tagalongs are my favorite. They're the ones with the chocolate and the peanut butter in the inside and like the little cookie, graham cracker cookie or whatever it is. But Tagalongs are my favorite now. So it's switched to Thin Mints to Tagalongs. And what's great is Kelly doesn't like Tagalongs, so I don't have to worry about her stealing them.
Get the whole box. Well, here's a funny situation. Since we're live,
yeah.
You can't really like redo it and fix it and spin it around. You just have to go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
So, you know, we had an interview coming up in the second part of the hour.
But we're going to do it now.
But apparently, it's now in the first of the hour because she's with us. So we're going to switch things around, go back to the cookies in a minute because we have so much to talk about with the cookies.
So much to talk about.
So much to talk about. But right now, we're going to go ahead because since she's with us, Adele Paula Royce, she is the author of the little black books. And for people that are watching on Facebook, there is the book. This is the little black book of suicide notes. So I got to get my notes and everything in front of me. But, you know, she says, what could make a person feel that they can no longer go on living? Why would someone think that ending their life is the only option? And what about those who've considered suicide and lived to talk about it? And this is her, the little black book of suicide notes. So welcome to the show, Adele. How are you?
Oh, I'm great today. Quite the antithesis of suicide. How are you, Kelly?
Yeah, well, you know, we're great. We're so happy to be alive and be part of this show. And we kind of opened it up talking about something someone's going through. And we're usually jokesters and crazy. But, you know, life does hit us and things do happen out there. And we need to address it and learn from it. You know?
They certainly do. They certainly do. Yeah, and I have certainly addressed it in my little black book of suicide notes, and I want to extend a thank you very much for having me on and allowing me to share this message with your audience and the world.
Well, please share with us and tell us what inspired your book and what it's about. It's filled, of course, with notes, suicide notes.
It's actually filled with the novel is comprised of 27 suicide notes. It's the first part of a planned trilogy. This is actually book one that's going to take us all on a journey from life, death, to rebirth. So book one is comprised of the 27 suicide notes, and it's actually written by a woman on a spiritual journey from life to death to rebirth. And they aren't suicide notes left behind, so to speak. They're a series of reflections, journal entries of a sort that actually chart her emotional and spiritual journey as she confronts the question of whether or not life is worth living. And it gives you an intimate look into the experience of hopelessness through her journey. And it highlights her desire and courage to find a way out. So that is basically the essence of the book. And as part two of your question, which was very poignantly stated, you know, what gives one an inspiration to write on this subject? The first, I would say, is the epidemic proportion of the suicide rate in society at this point in time. It's just jaw-dropping. I mean, I've researched, I've done my homework, and it's jaw-dropping. So I wanted to share this story with the world and really let people know who are suffering, you know, that there's still hope. I mean, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, you or your audience, but after years of spiritual searching on my own, I had this realization. And again, please don't take this the wrong way, that there is no cure for suffering. I felt a need to kind of tell it in a way that would take the pressure off of people to actually find a solution to something that doesn't really exist. All right? So through this story, the protagonist, you can follow her through the process of realizing that suffering is inherent to this existence. And how she comes to terms with it. You know, it's kind of paradoxical. But the key insight here is that although human suffering is innate, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, the suicidal tendency is based on a feeling of hopelessness. And, you know, I wanted people to feel that they were not alone in this feeling of aloneness and hopelessness and suffering. And, you know, there are so many issues involved here, but not being able to experience anything beyond that feeling is it sometimes very terrifying.
Right.
And it's been my experience that once you realize what's really going on here in this kind of game of life, if you will, you know, you can then kind of play like the concentration without effort game. You know, you can kind of take it as it comes, roll with the punches, and begin to get more of a handle on how to relate to it and really make peace with that truth.
And it's true, you know, when you said those words of, you know, suffering, that there really isn't a cure, it's, you know, we are all trying to figure, we're trying to either masking it with some sort of a drug or we're trying to tell ourselves to do affirmations, and we're always trying to find a way to figure out how to overcome the negativity that comes into life every single day. And it's kind of ironic with you happening to be on the show today. You've been scheduled, of course, but of course it's not scheduled what happens to our friends.
And nothing happens by chance.
Yeah,
right?
And the ironic part about it is our opening of our show was talking about how someone who's just been diagnosed and given just months to live is her whole purpose and their purpose together is to figure out how to live right now, whether if it's another day, another week, a month. They're so intent on living, yet there's people out there who they're every day, like in one of your chapters here says, maybe today is the day I'm in pain. My heart is in pain. And so maybe today is the day she's going to take her life is what this. So it's ironic that you're here talking about this and inspiring us to want to live. But this book is about someone that, you know,
this book is about hope. Yeah. This book is about hope. And you know, Kelly, many of us live in what I call a state of emergency. And just to explain, a false state of emergency is reacting to something that feels real, but it's not in essence true. Okay? So what's happening here is, you know, my teacher would always give two examples, which I believe makes the point very, very clearly. You know, one true state of emergency is if hypothetically someone were holding a gun to your head, ready to pull that trigger. Another might be, say, a grizzly bear coming toward you, ready to attack. Now, those are true states of emergency. However, when one is full of fear and anxiety and pain and suffering and everything else that those false selves and inner terrorists bring on to one's, you know, essence, they are actually not under any kind of real threat, but it may feel real to the one experiencing it, but by no means is it true. So through this woman's story, you can learn that you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live a destructive life. And how that realization can result in living a more balanced, sane, and simpler life. You know, it's all about an internal, I always say it's an inside job. It's about an internal freedom. And, you know, Viktor Frankl was a doctor who, you know, was in the concentration camps. And he explained that the only thing his captors could not take away from him was his internal freedom. You know, that's not something, and this is in reference to your, you know, statement before about the person who was diagnosed with cancer. Sometimes, and given X amount of time to live, sometimes, you know, those are very profound statements that really should not be made, because no one knows from moment to moment, nanosecond to nanosecond, what might occur. Right. You know, miraculous things happen in this life, sometimes over time, sometimes in the twinkling of an eye. So to tell someone, in essence, that they have X amount of time on this earth, you know, I don't know how fair that is or how right that is to, not that there's a right and wrong, but how true that is. Let's put it that way, how true that is to say to someone. You know, but a freedom is something that you can't surgically remove when it's internal. And this book that I wrote is a book about finding a path to one's own internal freedom. You know, the suicidal tendency is stigmatized in this society with a very large pressure of craziness or insanity associated with it. And I even wrote about it in the author's notes section of the book that, you know, some of the brightest minds of our times committed suicide. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not a doctor, I'm a regular gal, you know, that there aren't many complex issues, medical issues, guilt, shame, a state of hopelessness, you know, feeling that there's nothing to live for. But the book is trying to show people that that's not the case. And I decided to take this into more of a spiritual, to basically delve into this issue, a more of a spiritual and moral aspect. And it's a very interesting, you know, concept for people to start to view their life and maybe begin to write their own new life story and their own new life scroll. You know, I mean,
write a letter to live. How about that?
I'm sorry?
Write a letter to live.
Yes, yes. that quite is.
Well, Adele, we appreciate your words and inspired us this morning. The book is The Little Black Book of Suicide Notes, Adele Paula Royce. And I'm sure we can find this book on Amazon and everywhere that books can be sold, correct?
Yes, awesome. It's in three forms, and there is also an audio version, which any of you music aficionados might be interested in learning, that there is a recording in the audio. I had obtained the rights to Suicide is Painless from the movie MASH, and there is a wonderful, wonderful artist, Tony Noe, who actually did the recording and production of that in the audiobook. And there's music throughout, and I did the written spoken word. So there are three formats, and they're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, iTunes and Audible. So it's out there. And the website, of course, AdelePaulaRoyce.com.
Great. Well, Adele, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me from the bottom of my heart. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. There we go. Little Black Book of Suicide Notes. Thank you, Adele. All right. We do have to take it to a break. We're going to come back and talk about cookies.
Cookies.
Cookies. Cookies and more cookies. All right. We'll be right back with more. She said, he said.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered.